from the mountains to the prairies, the essence being the whole land, the whole country, the whole nation. God's guidance, guide us from coast to coast. So if he guides us, do we do well to follow his guidance? Is his guidance good? Is it efficient? Is it beneficial? Well, let's take a look at the guidance that we receive, because remember I said he guides us through principles. He guides us through commands. Let's take a look at something that so many of us are at least familiar with, and that is the Ten Commandments. Let's take a look at some of those, just a few of them. One of the things that we are told is that we shall not commit adultery. Now, granted, God was telling those who claim to be his followers this, but it pertains to anyone. We should not commit adultery. We shall not commit adultery. So many men and women violate that command. What a great guiding command. Don't commit adultery. Don't cheat on your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. So many men and women all across the country violate that command. And we understand. There are times when people just want to have sex with someone other than their spouse. This man wants to experience that woman's genitals. This woman wants to experience that man's genitals. They want to know what it is to be with each other sexually, and they're perfectly willing to violate their vows in order to experience each other's genitals. And find out what it is to join their bodies together sexually. Maybe even join their souls together sexually. And maybe do that over and over and over again. And violate the command of God. And even if the ones they're married to never find out about it, even if the ones they're married to suspect but can never prove that adultery has occurred, darkness, tension has been inserted and injected into the marriage, messing it up and contaminating it, even contaminating the sex life of the spouses. It is impossible to commit adultery without contaminating, polluting the sex life with your spouse. That's impossible. And what if the spouse does find out? What if the spouse does find out, however it happens, that adultery has occurred? Now you have all this unnecessary drama in the household. Drama that is impacting the spouse who was cheated on. Drama that is impacting the spouse who did the cheating. Drama that is impacting the children. Because we rejected God's guidance when he commanded us, don't commit adultery. What about some of the other ramifications that you shall not steal, you shall not kill. In other words, shall not commit murder. Let's be clear about that. And I think that most people are on the same page with that now. It's not that God is saying no killing under any circumstances, because God is fully aware of the fact, just like we are, that there are going to be times when war is going to occur. And even if it's in self-defense, there are going to be times when a nation will have to defend itself and death is going to be a part of the equation. But murder, that is what we're forbidden from committing. You shall not commit murder. Someone decides that for whatever reason, they're so angry at someone or they're so resentful towards someone that they're going to take their life anyway. even if they know that person has done nothing to provoke them, they're going to go ahead and take that person's life in cold blood anyway. So they go ahead and murder that person. If it's discovered that they killed that person in cold blood, first degree murder, unprovoked, and just murdered the person. If justice prevails, the murderer will go to prison or lose his or her life. Or go to prison and then eventually lose his or her life, having taken a life through murder. And their family, often devastated about what is happening to their family member, even though their family member is wrong, dead wrong. What about the family of the one who was murdered? What about the family of the victim? This family is sure enough devastated. They are really devastated. All this anguish, all this pain, and we're talking about effects that can literally last a lifetime. There may be a child who might be so devastated by not only the death of their loved one, but how the death occurred. There may be a parent, a spouse, who is devastated not only by the fact that they have lost their loved one, but that they have lost their loved one because someone murdered their loved one. There may be bitterness, anger, resentment for decades. It isn't warranted. It's not good, but it could be real. That could be a part of the equation. And this person angry for years and years and years and taking it out on other people. All because people would refuse to follow the guidance that God, the Creator, would send through the workings of our consciences, saying, don't commit this murder, even before we pull the trigger. If the person decides they're going to reject God's guidance and commit the murder anyway, would the nation be better off? That's the question I asked earlier. Would the nation be better off if we truly followed God's guidance, not just asked for his guidance in the song, God Bless America, but if we truly followed his guidance, lived in accordance with his guidance? It would be so much better if we would truly care enough about our Creator and respect his wisdom enough that we would follow his guidance. Because if we did that, we would also love our neighbor as ourselves. How much better would we all be off if the laws that we pass reflected the love that God commanded us to have for one another? How much better off would the nation be when it comes to the totality of the experience of peace and the experience of joy? If the justice system, as it is actually implemented, reflected God's guidance and people following that guidance. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not just sing the song, God Bless America, or applaud those who sing it as we stand and listen and watch. Let's care enough about God and care enough about our nation on this Memorial Day, making a mindset to care enough that we will embrace the words to the song and cooperate with our Creator. Cooperate with each other.